Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net. I'm Dr. Marty Gentzius of Kent State University, and this week on Counselor Audio Source, Dr. Tom Hackett speaks with Drs. Walter Barreau III and Michael Baltimore, all from Columbus State University, about theoretical orientation for counselors in training and its application to practice.
Hello, this is Tom Hackett. I chair the Department of Counseling, Educational Leadership, and Professional Studies at Columbus State University in Columbus, Georgia. With me here today are Dr. Walter Barreau III and Dr. Michael Baltimore, both professors at Columbus State University in the counseling program. Today, we'll be discussing theoretical orientation for counselors in training. We'll be discussing additionally development, teaching, and training as they relate to counselor education. Happy to have you here with me today, fellas.
Thank you, Dr. Hackett. Pleasure to be here.
Same here. Thank you.
I'd like to begin by asking Dr. Barreau, how did you become interested in theoretical orientation as it relates to your role as a counselor educator?
That's a good question, Dr. Hackett. I think it began within my doctoral program. I always found that I was very comfortable with theories, and as I talked with some of my cohorts and started to deal with master students, I found that theory was a subject that wasn't rarely discussed. And as counselors, we really didn't share what our theory was or felt comfortable necessarily conceptualizing cases from a theoretical standpoint. And I began to wonder, why was that? What was the discomfort with theory? And I think my interest has sprung from that even as a supervisor now at Columbus State, working with master students and watching the process of them developing and trying to figure out where they stand theoretically with clients and with goal setting and just the therapeutic milieu or even their role within the session.
Do you think there's a barrier to applying theory in their role in counseling?
I'm not sure if it's a barrier as much as it is the concept of theory. A lot of times I hear students say that if they pick a theory, they feel as though they're boxed in, as though they're labeling themselves. And I think there's some resistance towards that. Also, there might be a little resistance towards the actual theory itself. There might be some components within a theory that a student may not agree with readily. And they feel as though they can't utilize the theory or aspects of the theory because of those components which they may not agree with.
Dr. Baltimore, how did you become interested in the subject?
Well, I think that similar to Dr. Barreau's statements that initially through my training, my master's degree was in clinical psychology, and I had professors who valued theory and application of theory in the use in counseling and counseling practice. And then after working in the field for 10 years, before getting my PhD, I realized that theory was a fundamental foundation for helping others, that regardless of some natural, intuitive, and good skill as a listener, that you really needed a theoretical orientation to guide your work and to conceptualize clients presenting problems. As I finished my degree and began to work as a professor here at Columbus State University, I began to teach the counseling theory course, and typically the counseling theory course takes students and exposes them through the most popular, most commonly used theories in the helping profession. My goal at that point was to develop the best way possible to teach theory, looking at best practice in theory and the teaching of theory, and really help the students begin to consider and work through a developmental process for learning the best possible theory that or group of theories that would help them in their practice as a professional counselor. I also became interested in just how that development was different from student to student, and how in the training process we moved from more of a content-based approach to a more applied approach. So my teaching has really evolved into much more of a application or applied approach, so that we're much more experiential in our teaching approach now than we were before. I've also became interested very much as a supervisor in my work as a clinical supervisor in some of my research and writing in that area. The questions came to me as to how do students learn theory? How do they develop the theoretical orientation? How can I assist as a supervisor in that process? I really want those theories and the content that we've learned in the program to be available to students and counselors in training and then professionals as they begin to interact with clients. And I see those theories as a great resource for students as long as they're available. The other piece of it is that theoretical orientation seems to be somewhat of a mystery. There is not as much literature focus at a broader level to help us understand how a theoretical orientation is developed, and I'm very curious about that. So in terms of my interest, it seems to be an ongoing interest, and it's tied into the role of a counselor educator, particularly in my teaching of counseling theory.
Now, I heard you allude to a group of theories as possibly part of the framework on which this this practical application of skills it might hinge. I know we've also discussed in the past the situation where you have a candidate say, well, I just have an eclectic approach to counseling. What are your thoughts relative to having maybe one or two theories as an orientation towards your work as versus maybe an approach that is eclectic? You hear that said a lot.
Well, I think it somewhat depends on how the program and the faculty approach the teaching of that. But more importantly, I think it's for the individual counselor in training to survey those theories and begin to look at and be exposed to the information that I think matches with their personality and style and self. And as that begins to develop, what happens is that students begin to move or gravitate toward theories that really fit in their comfort level and also what they think is practical. Now, I think the term eclectic is not used as much, and oftentimes I hear people frown upon that term, and we're moving more toward an integrative model, which really means that, and as some literature has pointed out, that there are most practitioners use somewhere between 3 to 6 theoretical models in their work, and that they have integrated those, so there's a fit between the theories and themselves, the use of self in working with clients. To me, that makes a lot of sense, just given the fact that there are so many presenting problems and so much variety and variation in what a client brings into a session and they need help with, that the student really needs to have available to them a number of resources. Now, this is not to say that there are not purists out there who actually work from an individual theoretical model and are not successful. I think that is, I think we have to understand that is true. But I think in the general practice, especially for master's level clinicians, that an integrative approach makes a lot of sense. And so in training programs, I hope that what we're doing is looking at how best to teach that, have the student integrate those theories in their work, and then supervise from that position.
Now, Dr. Breaux, as you go about developing the process of theoretical orientation development, how do you begin that, and would you walk me through how that process evolves?
Well, that's an interesting piece, especially with the discussion about integrative approaches. I look at theory development as a piece of the self. It begins with self-awareness. I think we all have a philosophy, our theory of life. Before anyone enters into a counseling program, they have some ideas on what helping is and what therapy is. They have some ideas of what the role of a counselor would be or what even counseling is. And to start with that piece, to challenge those assumptions or those beliefs or even those values that we bring to theories course or even to our practicum or internship sites, if I were to give it a model of sorts, I'd probably say it's recognition, integration, and then some type of reconstruction. The recognition of self, the recognition of the values, the beliefs, the biases even, that we bring as counselors, and integration of new material, new content that you might get from the theories course, new perspectives, new world views that you might get from clients as you go through your practical internship, and you start to integrate that into your theory, your approach in helping people and interacting with them. And I believe that that's a process that's ongoing throughout your career as a counselor, so you should always be open to reconstructing, rebuilding, renovating the self, renovating the theory, the approach to it.
And it's interesting you said that about rebuilding and being willing to maybe risk in the sense that you get outside your original orientation toward different issues. In light of our conversation earlier, Dr. Baltimore, where we talked about often your theoretical framework, the approach you take might be that fits. What is the role in this orientation development and maybe working with students in moving away from orientations that maybe aren't healthy or aren't productive in their work as counselors?
Well, that's a good question. I really think each of us as a counselor educator and faculty and even program at that level need to consider that process. For me, I think one of the ways that I like to look at this is that I have a huge responsibility to help develop a professional, and it's a very comprehensive view for each individual student as they move through the program. I know when I'm teaching counseling theory, I'm trying to be aware that there are other courses that students have had. Or bringing different backgrounds, histories, family of origin issues, worldviews, and so forth into this model. But they've also been exposed to a number of the courses that we have in the program prior to coming into counseling theory. I'm trying to be aware that I should model a larger framework here that helps the student begin to integrate across coursework to become a professional counselor, and that is that they have access to a number of different perspectives, content, and approaches that they will then begin to hone and to filter through and to become accepting of their own theoretical orientation.
Dr. Breaux, I've watched you in your work, specifically working with school administrators, not counselors, as you work with them to maybe think in a new direction in their practice, working with people in their leadership role. I've also watched you working with your counseling students. How do you see your role in this process as both of you have talked about both finding the fit for the student but at the same time trying to maybe move in new directions with the student? How do you see your role in this process as both professor and in your role supervising them in their work?
That's a great question. I think first I have to be competent in my approach to theoretical orientation development. I need to be competent in my self-awareness and being able to be critical of my knowledge and challenging myself to continue to grow and explore different perspectives for counseling. If I expect that from my students, I guess I should model that, just as Dr. Baltimore said. I talked with Dr. Capuzzi in writing a chapter for his new theories book, and in the conversation that helped generate the chapter, he said we had to be clear about the way we approach theory. And I think that's my main role as a professor and a counselor educator, is to be very clear about my knowledge of theories. That helps my students when they come into practicum and they're grappling with theories. I can give them the options of multiple theories. I can hear from them in the session and see what they're using and maybe give them some pointers on different theories that they might want to look at. I can also point out some strengths and some weaknesses in their approaches as a counselor that might lead them to greater awareness in their development also. I think also as a professor and supervisor, I have to challenge myself to kind of reconceptualize what is theory use. The way I was taught theory was that you had to have a theory, it had to be one of the grade 8 or at least something close to it, and you had to use one of them, and you had to make it fit. And I'm beginning to think, well, maybe we come with something to the program, we come with something to the session, and what is that something? Well, it's the self. And if we're helping clients develop an awareness and an insight towards the self, I think as a counselor educator, even when using theory, I should help my students develop a greater awareness of self and where they stand with their theories.
Do you think that process of developing a theoretical orientation as you work as a professor, is that like building a scaffold on which a student can hang various practices, look at to different parts of the scaffold depending on the situation or the type of client they're dealing with?
I think if we use the metaphor, I'd probably say it was more like being a mirror. The same metaphor we use sometimes with the counseling session. The counselor is a mirror for their client. And the cleaner we can make the mirror, the more perfect we can reflect who the client is and give them better opportunities for insight. And same thing as a professor. The more I shine my mirror or I sharpen my axe of my skills and my competence, the more I'm a tool for my students. So I look at myself as a reflection of what they bring in with their sessions on tape. I look at myself as a reflection of what they give to me in class when they participate. And I try to reflect back authentically without my biases or without my assumptions of what theory ought to be, but I allow them to explore. And I guide and facilitate that exploration using those competencies and using my experience. But I think it's more of a reflective process.
Now, Dr. Baltimore, when your students begin their field work and their both, I'm referring to practica and also internship, how directive do you have to be as far as their implementation of some of the things you've taught in class and practiced in your class scenario settings?
Well, I really believe that we are guided by our ethical standards and general guidelines and standards of our profession, and that we have a responsibility to help in that development, as we've been talking about, for the counselor in training. So there are very many ways to help, and Dr. Breaux has just mentioned some of those that I think are extremely important, that we mirror that as clearly as we can for the students and give them a clear base on which to make their own judgments and assumptions as they work with clients. I'm also aware that there's a practical side of exposure to the various theoretical orientations. Now, what I mean by practical is that there are licensing exams and there are examinations and those kinds of standards that our graduates must meet. So they have to have an exposure to these theories and concepts, interventions, and more than that, they actually, while they're in a counseling training program, have a great deal of experience and actually test out and try out many of the theories that they read from a textbook, for example. So in terms of being directive, I think that probably is a moving target on the continuum, because I think each student may have different needs. Just as in clinical supervision, we know that some students who, as they begin, will need much more of a directive approach and maybe a teaching approach, demonstrations and so forth. And as they begin to become more competent and gain confidence in that process, then I think what we do is we begin to move toward a more consultation and approach, where we're much more in a collaborative mode to help the student really begin to look at some of the dynamics and some of the deeper issues that are going on, and to build a helping relationship. So there's a lot happening in that practicum and supervision time for both the student and the supervisor. And for me, it's a very exciting time to see the gains as students really begin to move away from a very concrete understanding of what's going on to a much more abstract and dynamic understanding. And also that there is a certain amount of what I call flow, I guess, or movement that is much more smooth, if you will, so that the student is using that confidence in a way that really allows them a greater feel for what the client needs, and then to implement through that content-based training in a way that is much more experiential and real. It's authentic, it's empathic, it's genuine, and that becomes much more of a higher level that demonstrates their grasp and beginnings of the theoretical orientation. And by the way, I might just add that theoretical orientation does take quite a bit of time. Most of us have two-year programs or thereabouts in our, for master's degree students, and therefore we're really asking a lot of both the faculty and the students to settle on a theoretical orientation within that time frame. Most of us would probably, I hope, agree that it takes many more years of training and maybe a lifetime, as this is always a process of development and learning, to develop a sound theoretical orientation and to be comfortable with that. And at the same time, always open to learning and new experiences and other theoretical approaches that continue to allow us to help in the best way possible for the clients and client families that we see.
We've talked a good bit about the theoretical orientation as it relates to improving practice in the field. I wonder if you, either of you, could share experiences you've had with students whose field work has had an effect or informed their understanding of theory, and if you've actually seen that in class once they get out in the field and try some things.
Well, I think of a couple of examples where I was beginning to see during the year of supervision when I was the intern supervisor that students were really struggling with taking the content from the classroom, from the textbook. They were able to talk about it, pass the exam, but to have it available to them and to use that in the moment with the client. And when that occurred, and then to come back and process that moment, was kind of a wonderful experience for both the supervisor and the intern, because it really demonstrates that this process is extremely important, and it is one that develops over time. And so as you take the developmental view, what you see is students moving more and more toward a greater expertise and the opportunity to help in a much more human and connected way, so that they're working with clients. It becomes very much, from a supervisor's point of view, it's not very difficult to support that type of work as they begin to see it. You know, in our presentation that Dr. Breaux and I just made at SACES, the Southeastern Association for Counselor Educators and Supervisors in Orlando, one of the things that we did during our presentation was to present some videotape of students responding to these type of questions some of the questions we've talked about today. For example, I simply asked the question of one student, how do you use theory in your counseling work? What is that process like? Can you describe it for me? And this student, who is a very good student and probably will do wonderful work in practice, said that one of the ways that she has to do this is to really hear the presenting problem, meet with the client, start the building of a relationship, and then as she hears the problem and other issues that come out, she's beginning to catalog through some of the theories that she's familiar with and comfortable with working, and some rise to the top, as she said, more than others, and it seems to be a natural fit between some of the theoretical approaches and concepts and therefore then treatment plan that she uses in conceptualizing what she needs to do with the case. So I find that kind of fascinating. Although I talk with other students, and it seems to be that there is a great deal of variety and maybe a larger continuum of how students actually use theory. It may be more, as Dr. Brode pointed out earlier, that use of self is a major factor in how students will then incorporate theory into their work. It's really kind of interesting to watch that.
It's interesting that you say that in the practice of educational leadership, our departments being joined together, it has had an effect on that program to watch the way that counseling builds on theoretical framework. And I think of a situation recently where I was dealing with a student where she asked, really proposed a certain situation, and she said, well, what should I do? And instead of doing what may have been my first reach several years ago, which would say, well, yeah, when I was in the field, this is what I did. Instead, I presented her with several different options based on several different theoretical models in dealing in a collaborative situation. So I think that's interesting. And in that light, Dr. Brode, I'd like to ask you, what are some of the key concepts that you feel make for effective theory course as you develop this or work with students in developing a theoretical orientation?
For a theory course itself, I think having some type of experiential exercise or environment where students can actually try on different theories and try on the hat of being an Adlerian or existentialist or gestaltist or any one of those main ones, and also maybe having some individual research time where they can go and explore different theories. As a supervisor in my doctoral program, I first learned about object relations from my supervisee as she went out and tried to discover a theoretical framework for herself. And it was very interesting to find out how object relations had roots in psychodynamic, but also was its own theory that looked at other perspectives of a person's life. And I think the ability for a supervisee or student to have the opportunities to do research and to explore for themselves adds to that model of which I talked about earlier, of self-exploration and integration into who the self is.
As you are developing a course in theory, Dr. Baltimore, and you're thinking about what elements to incorporate in that, of course, you bring your own personal preferences to your practice as a counselor. Does that inform the way you develop the course, or are you able to present different theories in equal light? How do you deal with that sort of professorial dilemma?
Well, I think we mentioned earlier that we really need to practice what we preach, if you will, that we need to be genuine and authentic and know ourselves what our theoretical orientations are, and therefore be clear and reflective for our students to begin to work on theirs. You know, it's often interesting that students who are very hungry to learn and very open to learning will really take the first chapter and of a textbook and claim it as their theoretical orientation until they read the second chapter in the book. I know I was guilty of that, I think, coming up. I seem to have done that in my training process, too. I also have a joke in the theory class that as we start each theory, I announce to the class that this is my favorite theory. And end up doing that some half dozen times or so. But what that joke really means is that, yes, all of these are valuable to you. It is going to be that connection between you, yourself, and then your training experience after that, and then over a period of time, that development into a theoretical orientation. As I mentioned before, I am very, in my teaching practice, I'm very experiential. So I really, and of course, some folks that know me know that I have a great interest in technology and learning, and teaching and learning as well. So what I will do in terms of trying to get the content in place is to provide CD-ROMs or DVDs with the content for the student to study and look at and review prior to the actual classroom time. And then in the classroom time, what I want to do is to move the student to an experiential or role-playing scenario. We often videotape our role plays and come back and critique those so that the student really is practicing. They're hearing themselves use the words as they would with a client, and responding to a client in an active way so that they get some hands-on and in-the-moment training that can be critiqued toward their actual practice as they move into practicum and internship. I think that's been helpful as I've looked at that. But I think it's very important that that we really examine our own theoretical orientations and how that might enhance or even detract from the learning of the students. So I think that's really, we have to be aware of that and make sure that we're serving students in the best way possible.
To follow up on that, how about the use of theory as an aid in case conceptualization or goal setting or even the creation of a therapeutic milieu? How does theory fit in the constructing those situations?
Well, you know, first you mentioned case conceptualization. I mean, there's been some work that really help us to understand that the way we conceptualize a case is based on our life experience as a most important ingredient in that. So one of the things that we have to do in training is to help the student take a look at those life events and their own experience and how that may have shaped them in viewing a case. I think that's really that important work for a student to do, is to begin to understand their own background, family of origin work that really shapes the way they view a case. In addition to that, I think what happens is that the theory then is a framework, and you mentioned that term earlier, but it's a scaffolding and a framework to understand those presenting problems. And the other analogy is the lens, that we can change the lens as we look at presenting problems. Each of those theories will help the student move towards setting goals with the clients. It also in maintaining the therapeutic milieu. In other words, the type of questions that are asked, the emphasis and the intensity and other factors within a counseling session can really be shaped by using a particular theory. I think the student really needs to be aware of that, and I think faculty members really should provide feedback as best they can in terms of the impact of theory and their own life experiences on case conceptualization and goal setting.
Dr. Breaux, what about as a candidate or even a practicing counselor creates that therapeutic environment? How does theory come into play there?
Oh, listening to Dr. Baltimore, it reminded me of some fundamental theories of the counseling profession that we may not necessarily think of in our use with clients as a gestaltist or as a solution focus or cognitive behavioral approach, but truths like people grow when they feel safe and valued. That was something I was taught, and that's a theory of sorts. Or that our role as counselors is a helping one. We're in a helping profession. Little pieces like that as a theory, I think, should be integrated into the very fundamental core of who a person is, even though they may put on the hat of counselor, just becoming and being a holistic person, one who loves to help, one who's interested in seeing people grow and change, and one who knows how to interact and create environments where people can feel safe and valued enough to grow, I think is a big part of a candidate or a practicum student or any student at any level to start to consider as they look at theories.
What are some suggestions that both counselor educators and supervisors can put into play in order to better facilitate a student's effective use of theory with clients?
I think one of the first pieces I'd say was to recognize that theory use is a process, and also for counselor educators and supervisors to be mindful of the theories that they espouse to their own theoretical orientation, in a sense to keep the mirror clean. The professor or the supervisor's bias can a lot of times influence students, and students will want to become a member of the camp, the theoretical camp that the professor or supervisor is a member of. So professors ought to develop a competence, not in just one or two theories, but in all the theories that are readily taught or available in textbooks, and should have some awareness of other popular theories that may be out there and may not be mainstream. I think interpersonal process recall is a great form of supervision to use with students in practicum or internship as they're developing. It gives you an opportunity to stop a tape and ask a student, where are you right there? What's going on with you and what's going on with the client? And what we're really trying to tap into is a theoretical framework from which the counselor is working from. And I think that's very important. And if I were to give another suggestion, it would simply be to use the book. Use the textbook. Most theory textbooks are outlined with certain headings. I ask students all the time, how do you define counseling? And I let them respond to that. What is your role as a counselor? What is the client's role? How do people change within the therapeutic setting? And what's the single most important aspect of counseling for you? And I think when students respond to these questions, just from using those headings, they begin to solidify a theory, at least on paper, that they can begin to pull from when they start working with clients.
Dr. Barrow alluded in his response that keeping the mirror clean is an issue and something of which a counseling educator needs to be aware. Do you think that possibly that is one reason why theory development and application is so commonly debated and maybe bantered about in the counseling profession?
Well, I think there's probably debate of and differences between the theoretical approaches that sort of lead to a debate, if you will, that there can be this taking of sides and different camps kind of opposing each other depending on how you think your particular theory would best fit and work with a client. Actually, that kind of idea or concept is from a modern point of view. And most would say that our counseling field right now is in a more of a postmodern view, where we're moving toward a more collaborative and integrative approach, both between the counselor and the client, but also between theories. So as an individual counselor in training or practicing counselor begins to integrate theories for themselves, they're also doing that under a larger umbrella of a postmodern or more collaborative and constructive. And constructivists really have made quite a move here. Some people would even say that it's a paradigm shift for us to really look at how best these theories are working together as opposed to opposing each other. So I think that movement has really provided us with an opportunity to look at how theories can best be used together. And therefore, this notion of integration or the integrative models, there are many models out there now, or a number of models and researchers and writers who are looking at a multi-theoretical approach to not only practicing but teaching of theory. And so Jeff Brooks Harris, for example, in his multi-theoretical approach, University of Hawaii, has really talked about how to begin to teach theory and then use theory in a much more integrative way, and one that matches with client symptoms versus taking a particular individual theory and then using that with the client. So there are a number of others out there as well. But so what I'm thinking of is that this represents our shift to a perspective that is more integrative and collaborative, and it seems to be working fairly well for our clients and our profession. So I think we're in a good place at this point.
As a final question, I'd really like to know what you think students would say about your approaches to developing that theoretical orientation. How do you think students perceive the process? What have they said to you during class and as they apply some of this theory in their practice?
That's an easy one to answer. They talk about how hard that theory course is, and most people, they sort of has a standalone reputation about the counseling theory course because it's so demanding. I don't know if I encourage that reputation or not with that, but I do want to let the students know at the outset that this is what I consider one of the most important, if not the most important class when it comes to doing this work. So we joke about that, but nevertheless, I think what happens is that at the end of the course, students are saying that, hey, this has been helpful and I will use this. As a matter of fact, I need this in my work. Some of the other students have said, and I've asked this question too, how can I improve this course and what can I do to help you work with these theories and then integrate that along the way? There's been more than one, but several people have said that they like to see a case example, an actual presenting client or client family that we take through the entire semester and then apply each of the different theories and work through the treatment and treatment examples of a single case. So we have that sort of in our planning right now for the next term for this course, that then will allow the student to see the same presenting problems managed and handled and conceptualized in a much different way for each of those theories. That seems to make sense for me, but a number of students have talked about that, and I appreciate those suggestions as we continue to try to build the best practice, if you will, or the best way that we can help students understand and then ultimately use the theory.
Well, I've sure enjoyed our conversation today. With me again, Dr. Walter Breaux and Dr. Michael Baltimore from Columbus State University. I'm Tom Hackett. Good day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've just heard an interview with Dr. Walter Breaux III and Dr. Michael Baltimore from Columbus State University about theoretical orientation for counselors in training. Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at counselorAudiosource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4015. Counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.